Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Have you ever traveled at night? It can be hard to see anything unless it is lit up, especially when there's a new moon. Traveling at night through the desert southwest near my home can feel even more isolated than traveling through the same area during the day, because at night there is so much less to see. What is easier to see at night is light, whether it is nearby or off in the distance. And where there is light in the desert at night, there is a much better chance to come across people. Light that shines in the darkness is easy to see. What isn't as easy to see is what the darkness hides. When traveling and having arrived at a destination during nighttime, my perception of what is around where I'm at is distorted by the darkness, because the darkness hides everything not illuminated by the light. And in the morning, when I open the curtains to the hotel and look out, I'm often underwhelmed by what I see. There are times when I awake to see pristine beauty, but often I awake to see the ugliness of being in the city. Darkness does a great job of hiding what is ugly. The faith that we have that is given to us by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is like a light shining brightly in the darkness. The darkness that envelops the world around us is a result of sin, and the light is the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ. That light shines brightly in a world that has been swallowed in darkness. Righteousness is like a light that we can see, that we can move towards, but it is not a light we inherently possess. If righteousness were already within us, we would have no need to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, as Jesus spoke. Righteousness is something we seek along with the kingdom of God. Righteousness does not inherently belong to us. Righteousness belongs to God. And that is something that Daniel understood. Let's look at a prayer of Daniel during the first year of Darius. Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. Righteousness belongs to God. We all have things that belong to us. For instance, a house belongs to a person if it is owned by the person. Even if there is a mortgage on the house belongs to the person, and aside from any restrictions that come with the mortgage, the person is free to do with the house what they would like. There are even fewer restrictions on a house that is owned where there is no mortgage, and those restrictions are found within municipal codes, and any tax requirements like property taxes. There are other restrictions that are voluntary and advisable, like maintaining homeowners insurance. We tend to look at things that are tangible as belonging to us. It can be a home, a car, or personal property. We might even look at family members as belonging to us, but without the ownership claims of property. When we say my house or my car, we say that because we have an ownership claim. But when we think of my mom, my dad, or my brothers and sisters, we acknowledge a family relationship. Righteousness belongs to God, who is righteous. God, who already owns everything, has no need of material possessions. God, who created all things, by default, owns all things. We, who were created after the image and likeness of God, do not by default own all things. And we soon come to terms with the recurring cycle of earning money to pay for the cost of living. It seems like the cost of living moves at a faster pace than the money we can earn. So it is normal to be focused on things like buying food, putting a roof over your head, and being able to enjoy a few nice things in life. Those are important, and God knows these are important for us. God, who owns all things and has need of nothing, knows we have all these needs in our life. Nobody faults a person for being focused on providing for the needs of their family. We tend to find fault with people who consistently make bad choices when it comes to providing for the needs of their family. Jesus reminded his audience that their life would be filled with needs and that God already knew what their needs were. He taught that instead of being solely focused on the needs of human life, to focus first on spiritual life, to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and that if this was done first, that human needs would be provided by God. While Daniel prayed knowing that righteousness belongs to God, Jesus taught that righteousness, along with the kingdom of God, is something we need to seek first. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Ezra, a priest during the time of Nehemiah, brought many exiles from Babylon back to Jerusalem. While Nehemiah was focused on building the city walls, Ezra was focused on restoring the temple and worship by the people. Ezra understood there was this vast difference between the people and God. He knew that the people had generationally been led to live a life opposed to God, and that is what led to their captivity. In prayer, He acknowledged his sins and the sins of the people while asking God for mercy and acknowledging the righteousness of God, declaring that God is righteous. Ezra 9, verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes, and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, The land unto which ye go to possess it, it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments, and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. As it is this day, behold, we are before thee in our trespass, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. David knew it would be the righteousness of God that would protect him from his enemies. Think about what it would be like today to have a human enemy that sought your life. David's enemies sought his life. Who could be trusted knowing somebody sought your life? It would probably be a very short list of people, and even then doubt could creep in. In the criminal world, that doubt has led to the early death of many criminals, where one criminal decided they could no longer trust another criminal. David knew God's righteousness would protect him from his enemies. With righteousness, there is never a doubt regarding intent. David trusted God to lead him in righteousness to protect him from his enemies, and today, we can have no doubt that God's righteousness will protect us as well. Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. David knew the righteousness of God that would protect him from his enemies was the same righteousness that would judge the world. David added that the same confidence he had regarding the ability of God's righteousness to protect him from his enemies was the same confidence that God would righteously judge the world. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou satest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Old Testament prophecies of Jesus Christ that we look to for comfort as we consider what the kingdom of God will be like shows us that righteousness will define what is done. Today, most countries have a written constitution as a single document to define the country. The few that don't have a collection of laws that serve the function of a constitution. Imagine the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God will be defined by righteousness. All that is done will be done by righteousness. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Later, we see Jesus described as a king who will reign in righteousness. That righteousness will be vibrant throughout all parts of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be a kingdom where the needs of people are met and where righteousness abounds and there is no shading of truth. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And the man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Before the kingdom of God will come a time of trouble, especially for women. Through righteousness, God will hear the cry of those who are troubled and oppressed, even as things get progressively worse. Verse 9. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you, and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. The Holy Spirit will help to bring that change as it leads people to righteousness. When Jesus returns to establish the kingdom of God, there will be an immediate time of war as mankind will fight his return. The later chapters of Revelation show that. But through the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God will become a kingdom of peace and an eternal kingdom of righteousness. Verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Jeremiah wrote that it is God who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, because these bring happiness to God and the people he loves. It is God who exercises righteousness while we seek his righteousness. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the outmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Paul told the Romans that God's righteousness is revealed to us through the gospel of Christ through faith. It is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ we have forgiveness of our sins and hope for eternal life, the basis of our faith. We live our lives seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And while we do this, we know it is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that becomes the cornerstone of the gift of eternal life. That is why the just live by faith. We know the righteousness of God is greater than any part of God's creation. And when so many are distracted by the creation and give honor to the creation, we give honor to God and glorify God as the Creator. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It is through the forgiveness of sin made possible by the death of Jesus Christ that God declares his righteousness to those who are of the household of faith. Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. We cannot be ignorant of God's righteousness, because those who are ignorant of God's righteousness establish a standard of right and wrong that makes sense for them. And while good may come from that, that is not the righteousness of God. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Mankind mostly doesn't know about the righteousness of God, but mankind does understand good and evil. We cannot confuse the contrast between good and evil as being the same as the righteousness of God. Going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had free rein over the garden to take care of it and to eat what they wanted, including from the tree of life, the only tree they could not eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. The tree of life bears fruit for righteousness and eternal life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil bears fruit which gives an understanding of good and evil, but it leads to death. Satan, personified as a serpent, used this distinction to deceive Eve. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Having been given a choice between a life of righteousness that leads to eternal life and an understanding of good and evil that leads to death, Adam and Eve chose the latter and were banned from the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, Behold, a man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. From the beginning, God connected righteousness and eternal life. God, who is righteous, has eternal life. God never intended that a person who only knows good and evil to have eternal life. Righteousness is connected to eternal life, and that is why when Jesus spoke on of what to seek first, Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. There is not one without the other. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul showed that while there was glory given to God in the Old Testament, all one could achieve was death. He then explained that with eternal life and righteousness, there is even more glory for God now. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Having been given the Holy Spirit, we have been given a spirit that results in spiritual fruit, and not fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, but the fruit of righteousness, goodness, and truth. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We, who are the household of faith, live as an anomaly among those who are not of the household of faith. What the household of faith does through faith and seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness is strange to them. We have embraced the light in a world that clings to darkness, and the darkness does not understand the light. Often, what is not understood is feared, and often, what is feared is persecuted. When we suffer in any way for reasons of faith, Paul makes it clear that God will righteously repay those who trouble us. We never have a need for revenge, knowing that God will take care of matters when we are wronged. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flame, fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. As we live our life of faith, seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we know God will not ignore us or forget about us. We need to diligently press forward in the faith to eternal life, to inherit the promises. Hebrews 6, verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. As we press forward in the faith to eternal life, we acknowledge that God and Jesus Christ are true and righteous, and we prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ. As part of the household of faith scripturally, we will be the bride of Christ, and at the return of Jesus Christ, we will have made ourselves ready. Revelation 19, verse 1. And after all these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren they have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Righteousness belongs to God in Jesus Christ, and is made manifest to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and is something we must seek and attain to be part of the marriage supper. Having been born into a world that only knows of good and evil, we are called to a life of righteousness. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and when Jesus does return to establish that kingdom as part of the bride of Christ, we will have made ourselves spiritually ready for eternal life and righteousness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.